Good afternoon. Welcome to the Econews Report. I'm your host this week, Jennifer Kalt, Director of Humboldt Baykeeper. The Econews Report is brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, Econews. Today, my guest is Susie Fortner, Education Manager for Friends of the Dunes, speaking about the upcoming coastal naturalist training and other great events and activities Friends of the Dunes has going on. Thank you so much for being on the Econews Report today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Later on, we'll be talking also with Jasmine Segura, who is Humboldt Baykeeper's tour coordinator, and she'll be telling us about some of the great bay tours that we've had going on this summer. But first, we will talk to Susie about Friends of the Dunes. So, Susie, why don't you start off with a little introduction of Friends of the Dunes and your role at the organization?
Okay. So, Friends of the Dunes is a nonprofit organization. We are based out in Manila, California. We have this beautiful Humboldt Coastal Nature Center, which you should definitely come visit if you haven't been out there before, located at 220 Stamps Lane. And we offer a variety of educational and stewardship programs. We have education programs for the community, for youth, for school groups. And then we also have stewardship programs. So we are a land trust and we have 118 acres of our own property where we do restoration projects in the dunes. And then we also work really closely with some local agencies and land managers such as U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the BLM to do restoration activities on their properties as well.
So Friends of the Dunes property is sort of in between some public ownership lands, right?
Yes. We are right in between the Malell Dunes Cooperative Management Area, which is partially managed by the BLM, Malell South, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So Malell North is part of the Humboldt Bay National Wildlife Refuge. And then to the south of us is the Manila Dunes, which is managed by Manila Community Services District.
These dunes are really unique and spectacular, just an incredible ecosystem that we're so lucky to live so close to. Why don't you tell the listeners what's so special about the dunes on the north spit of Humboldt Bay?
Oh, gosh. Well, the dunes are just amazing. Really, for me, it's the diversity. You have all these different habitats in a really small area. So we're on a peninsula. So we have the Humboldt Bay on one side of us, the Pacific Ocean on the other side of us. Up at Malell North and Lanphier, there are just these gorgeous dune forests. We have big, wide open moving sand dunes like you would imagine out in the middle of the desert, except they're right there next to the Pacific Ocean. We have these seasonal wetlands where we have willows and rushes and all sorts of wetland plants growing. And then our fore dune is just right now, especially this amazing, blooming, beautiful habitat and ecosystem out there with lots of pollinators, over 40 species of plants, solitary bees. And then you're right there next to the ocean. So it's just an amazingly diverse area. I'm talking like 15, 20 minute walk. You go through all these different habitats.
Yeah, it is really magical. I mean, when you go to the Malell North and start out by the mudflats on Humboldt Bay and then you walk through the forest, it's almost like you're in another world. I mean, it's just so special and unique. And then you come out on the big dunes and the wildflowers all in bloom. It's just wonderful. And I've started taking people there, visitors, like Steve Lopez from the LA Times did a coastal tour looking at different areas of California and talking about the importance of the Coastal Commission and the areas that have been saved due to this really special law that we have in California. And I took him and the photographer from the LA Times to Malell North, and they were just completely blown away. And then I also took the author of the Alexander von Humboldt biography when she came and toured and spoke at Humboldt State. And I just emailed her out of the blue and said, hey, you want to go on a walk and see a really special place? And she was like, yeah. So I took her and she was just astounded. I mean, it's just an amazing place.
It is a beautiful, amazing place. Yeah, it's definitely got a certain energy to it, I feel. And it's a really special place to me. I can kind of feel the energy there when I go there, just of this big giant dunes. And there's this, like, you can go and up there on top of the Skeleton Forest and you're sitting on top of old dead trees underneath your feet. But I mean, I should also mention it's a very special spot to the Wiat tribe as well. And that's why all the trails up there are named in Wiat words. So if you get a trail map, you can learn these different Wiat words for the trails out there, which is pretty cool also.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the skeleton trees, and that's something that, you know, as an ecologist and a botanist, I'm really just always in awe of the moving ecosystems and the little moving habitats, and how in Humboldt County, there's a lot of river mouths that are uncontrolled, which is fairly unique in California, and the Mad River river mouth just mm-hmm. moves as it wants to move. And the sand dunes and the way the sand blows over this forest, like you mentioned, and then kills some of the trees, and then wetlands form. And, you know, living here for several decades, you can watch all this movement, and it's just really special in so many ways. Okay, so now let's talk about the Coastal Naturalist training that you have coming up.
Yes, the Coastal Naturalist training starts September 7th. And it's just an amazing training. We've been offering it for a really long time through Friends of the Dunes. And this year is extra special for us because we finally made the Coastal Naturalist training part of the California Naturalist program. So starting this year, if you take the Coastal Naturalist training, you will be a certified naturalist throughout the state of California.
Oh, wow. What does that mean? I mean, it's something that people could do in other areas. And what does the program sort of certification mean?
Well, I mean, you'll be just recognized as a like certified naturalist. There really isn't much of a like naturalist certification program. So it's just kind of a document to back up, something to put on your resume if that's something that you want to do of like, I am a certified naturalist through the California Naturalist Program.
Wow, that's great.
And then you tap into all these resources statewide. So, I mean, we're also, you know, we're now a little dot on a map, or more specifically, we're a little monarch butterfly on this map of all these different naturalist programs throughout the state. So it puts both Friends of the Dunes onto this map for other naturalists from out of the area looking for things to do, but also it puts our naturalists, plugs them into this wider resource of statewide naturalists and opportunities to get trainings elsewhere.
Wow, that's great. I know some of our docents for the Baykeeper tours have done the Coastal Naturalist training, and Carol Vandermeer asked me to help, you know, modify the most recent handbook, the manual that you guys at Friends of the Dunes publishes, which is just an amazing guide that, you know, even if people can't do the training, seeing that and buying your own copy of it is just amazing. It's called the Coastal Naturalist Manual. And so we've, in this recent edition, Baykeeper contributed some sections about Humboldt Bay and sea level rise planning and sea level rise and that sort of thing. So where can people buy the Coastal Naturalist Manual?
Okay, so yeah, the Coastal Naturalist Manual is available at the Humboldt Coastal Nature Center out in Manila. I believe they also sell copies at the Arcata Marsh Interpretive Center.
Great. Well, it's a really great resource, really enjoyable reading, well-written, lots of great photographs. So tell us a little bit about the training and what it will involve.
Yes, so the training this year, like I said, it's through UC Extension is what the California Naturalist program is through. So we are a California Naturalist program, and we've really upped just the whole quality of the program. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's always been a great program. It's been a series of guest lectures and guest field guides who take the class around and do various different things, but we've never had a consistent instructor before. It's kind of been just a staff person from Friends of the Dunes who sort of introduces the guest lectures, introduces the field guides, but isn't really instructing anything. So this year, we do have a consistent instructor, Jennifer Ortega, who I'm sure many people around here know because she's been living in Humboldt County for a while. Longtime naturalist and used to be a science teacher and has worked up at the Wolf Creek Education Center up there. So she's got a lot of great experience. So she'll be there for every session. She'll be kind of filling in the gaps and assigning homework assignments. And we have additional readings. So we've had, Jen mentioned the Coastal Naturalist Manual, which, by the way, when I started working with Friends of the Dunes, and when I took the Coastal Naturalist training, this manual looked much different. And I'm also told stories of when it was handouts that were stapled together, and that was your manual, basically. So now it's this nicely bound book with great illustrations and photos. It's a great layout.
So now it's 6 weeks, is that right?
It is 6 weeks long, yes.
So it's 6 weeks, and it's in the evenings? Or what times of day?
Right, 6 weeks starting September 7th and going until October 15th. And we actually have one extra day that's going to be a graduation day on October 26th. It is Thursday evenings from 6 to 8:30 p.m. And then it is Sundays various times. We usually start at 8:30 and are done by 1:30 for the Sunday field sessions. I think it's a total of about 42 hours of instruction.
Tell us about some of the teachers and field tour leaders.
Yes, we have an exciting lineup of lots of different people. Let's see, we have an expert animal tracker coming up from Garberville, this woman, Kim Cabrera, who is an amazing professional animal tracker who's going to come do animal tracking. We have one of the newer wildlife faculty members, Angie Baker, who's going to be doing the in-class portion about different mammals that we'll find in the dunes. We have our regular crew of geologists that we usually have help with the training, which is our former board president, Bill Weaver, is going to be doing the field session, and Marianne Mayday, who's retired from the U.S. Geological Survey, is going to be doing the in-class portion for that. We have some representatives from the Wiat tribe coming to speak to the class. Definitely Ted Hernandez, who's the assistant cultural director over at the Wiat tribe. And hopefully somebody from the natural resources department is going to be joining him. We have, well, Carol Vandermeer is going to be coming in. She's always been a big part of this training, our former executive director at Friends of the Dunes. So she's going to be doing some little portions, including a kayak trip at the very end. So that'll be kind of our big thing at the end. I'm trying to think of some of the more exciting names. We have Alderon Laird's going to come in and do a talk about sea level rise around Humboldt Bay. We have Mike Van Hatt, Adam, who's going to come in and talk to us about wetlands and herps and things of that nature. We're going to go do a tour of the Arcata Marsh and have an introduction to birding with Ken Burton, who's an excellent local bird enthusiast.
Wow. So it sounds like a lot of great expertise, and people will be learning just a ton, but they'll also presumably be learning about how to share that knowledge with people on trips, right? Because the idea is for these people to become Friends of the Dunes docents and lead tours as well.
Yes, exactly. So the idea behind the Coastal Naturalist training is that you take it and then you're able to lead walks and lead workshops and things like that through Friends of the Dunes. But we don't necessarily require that of people who take the training, because we know that that is not necessarily for everybody. So if you just want to take it out of personal interest. But this year, we're really tapping into this idea of what it is to be a naturalist. So we are going to have a good section about interpretation, whether you're sharing it with a group of people on a walk or you're just taking your friends and family out on a walk. Interpretation is important in sharing these resources with others. So we're going to be doing a big section on that. We require 10 hours of volunteer service. So our idea behind a naturalist is not just that you take in information, but you also kind of give back and you share information, whether that be through sitting at our visitor center at the Humboldt Coastal Nature Center and greeting visitors and answering phones. That's one way to help. But you might also be doing, maybe birds are the thing that you're into and you want to do bird walks at the Arcata Marsh. So we're not saying you have to do your service with us, but hopefully somebody in the community that's doing some sort of coastal education program. Maybe somebody will come and lead some bay tours for Humboldt Baykeeper. So various things that you can do. And then on top of that, this year we're also requiring a capstone project. So all the students have to do, it shouldn't take too long, probably about 8 to 10 hours to do this extra project. So really tap into what it is that they're interested in and then spend some extra time on that, focusing on that. It could be leading a restoration work day, going out and doing restoration on your own. It could be designing a new interpretive display. I mean, there's a whole variety of things. It could just be some office admin work if that's really how you want to contribute back. There's a lot of nonprofits around here who need those sorts of volunteers doing administrative tasks. So,
indeed. Less glamorous, but always necessary administrative tasks.
Yes.
So that's a good segue to talk about other events and activities Friends of the Dunes has coming up.
Yes.
You guys have so many activities going on all the time. I'm on your email list, and I am always amazed at how much you do and what the variety of activities. So what's going
yes.
on in
oh,
the next
Oh, before we
month or two?
Move yeah. on, I should add that you can actually get 4 academic credits through the UC Extension.
Wow.
So that's just something I want to throw in there.
So Humboldt State or College of the Redwoods students could actually apply that towards their major, maybe as an internship kind of a thing?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the details of it are as far as what it transfers into, because this is our first year doing it. So hopefully I'll find out. But yes, you can definitely get academic credits through UC, which will be transferable. Also, I mean, there's a lot of teachers out there who are looking for credits, you know, elementary K through 12 teachers who need academic credits. So it's another option for them to kind of build up their own resume. Yeah.
So what other activities and events does Friends of the Dunes have coming up in the next month or two that you want listeners to know about?
Yeah, we have a lot going on. September is a really busy month for us. So we do have our school education program starts up in September, the Bay to Dunes program, which is actually, this is its 20-year anniversary.
Wow.
So that's pretty exciting. That is a volunteer-powered program. So we do an in-depth environmental education training, and then the people who go through that training lead the field trips for students. So that training is coming up September 8th and 15th. Those are Fridays. And then all the field trips will be on Fridays. So you do have to have Fridays available because they are school field trips. So they take place from about 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. So that's really exciting. And then we have just a general volunteer orientation coming up on September 9th. So anybody interested in just finding out what Friends of the Dunes does, I'm going to give a history of Friends of the Dunes, give an overview of all of our programs, and then hopefully people will find a place to plug themselves in, whether it's working in the Nature Center, doing restoration, leading school field trips. So that's September 9th from 10 to 11:30 at our Nature Center in Manila. And of course, at the end of September, we have our Wine by the Sea fundraiser, which is really fun. So if you don't necessarily want to volunteer, but you want to support Friends of the Dunes by coming to this fancy fundraiser, drinking wine, tasting different types of wine and local foods, and we'll have a silent auction and live music. That'll be really fun. It's always great.
Yeah, it's always a great time, and it's in the afternoon, and it's usually a beautiful sunny day, and you spend a lot of time outside. There's local food manufacturers with their wares, you know, like Beck's Bakery and Cypress Grove will be there, or I don't know, but and then local wineries. Yeah, it's a fun time. And then you can go for a walk in the dunes too, right from the Nature Center if you want to.
Yep. And that's September 30th, 3 to 6 p.m. Tickets are available on our website, and I'm sure they will be at Wildberries very soon if they're not there already.
Okay. What else? Anything else?
Oh, I have so many things on my list here of what we're doing in September. But some fun things we're doing lately. One thing we've been doing is bio blitzes, which
yes.
are a great opportunity to just get outside. We use the app iNaturalist to take photos of all sorts of things and upload them. The idea behind a bio blitz is just having a bunch of people at one time in one place or one range of places just recording citizen science data. So you don't really have to know anything about the things you're looking at to record this information, and it can become like research grade information, but you can basically just upload a photo of any plants to this app if you've ever used it before. It's pretty
cool.
Or animals. Yes, all sorts of things.
Lichens, whatever. Yeah, I think I went to the first BioBlitz at Friends of the Dunes. The first one I did was an intertidal zone BioBlitz up in Trinidad, and it was amazing. I mean, it was just so fun to go with a bunch of people looking at all the different critters in the tide pools and taking pictures, and I learned a lot about it, and now I've just learned that iNaturalist is actually, it's a great app, not just for taking the pictures and stuff, but for learning. Like, for example, somebody posted a photo of a mink. I think it was on the Humboldt County Photos Facebook page. And I thought, I wonder, you know, how common minks are around here. And I went and looked on the iNaturalist site, which is run by the California Academy of Sciences. So this is actually, you know, a real natural history, science-based collection of information. And, you know, I found someone in my neighborhood in McKinleyville had gone and taken pictures of animal tracks down on the Mad River in just an hour. And somebody who's an expert, maybe Kim Cabrera, went on that iNaturalist and identified that there was a mink, a beaver, red vole, raccoon, and a weasel. And
maybe
even one more thing. All down there. Oh, otter, river otter.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Six mammal tracks seen on the banks of the Mad River right there in McKinleyville. And, you know, just learning that kind of thing. Or you can post a picture of a scorpion and some expert will, you know, tell you what kind of scorpion it is. And then you can find out the range of the animals. It's actually a really neat program. It's a website as well. You don't have to have a smartphone, but it's real easy to take a picture on your smartphone and then just
upload it. The other cool thing about it I found is the maps that you get on there. So you can just go on the app and hit explore, and then you can see a map. So I do it at the Nature Center all the time and just see like what people have seen on our property, which is also pretty cool. You can just explore what's around you. Yeah, like Jen said, you know, other people go on and identify these things for you. You don't really need to. You can just be like, it's a lizard of some sort. And then somebody else will go on there and tell you exactly what kind of lizard it is.
Yeah. I've been on a mission to add a lot of plants because at first there were hardly any plants. So because I'm a botanist, I go around and on regular walks and stuff, and I just take pictures of things that are in bloom and looking really in fine shape for identification purposes, and I'll just upload a few photos and not anything like bio-blitzy, just casual observation, but I know what they are. I get a good photo and I upload it. And
yeah, I've been doing a lot of plants myself also. I mean, the people who are into birding are really into eBird, and I kind of see it as like a version of eBird that you can use for anything, for any plants or animals. So Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think it's great for kids too. And if you don't know what a plant is, like a lot of people send me photos and say, "Do you know what these plants mm-hmm. are?" But you can do that. I'm perfectly happy identifying people's flower photos, but you can take a picture and upload it to iNaturalist, and oftentimes I don't know how it does it, but it suggests for you what the thing you just
I was told the new version has artificial intelligence or
it's
something. It just
crazy, actually. It's not always right, but you know, sometimes it'll just figure it out. You know, it's probably not going to make botanists obsolete anytime soon because, you know, a lot of plants are really not that easy to identify. But yeah, it's really fun, and I learned so much with the intertidal. You know, there were a bunch of experts, local invertebrate experts there that day, and it was fun.
Yeah. So yeah, we're having another one. We're going to have a series of them. This is going to be September 13th. And I'm not sure what day of the week that is now that I look at it. But it's a sunset bio blitz. So it is happening after work if you work regular hours. It's from 6 to 7 at Malell Dunes South. And that information is on our website, on our calendar. But it's going to be kind of an evening bio blitz in the dunes.
That sounds fun.
And keep an eye out for more because we're going to be doing more of them. We're planning one with the North Coast Regional Land Trust out at Freshwater Farms Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
We just did one pretty recently up in Trinidad with Trinidad Coastal Land Trust and MPA Collaborative and NEC with Delia and Carol. It was a big group of people. It was really fun to go out tide pooling with everybody, like you were saying, and learn while you're taking photos of all this stuff.
Yeah, that was fun. I found a little white octopus that was so small it fit in my hand. It was so cool.
Oh, cute.
Are you doing anything for Coastal Cleanup Day?
Yeah, we are going to be hosting. We are a site at the Nature Center for Coastal Cleanup Day. So that's Saturday, September 16th. I will be there. Also happens to be my birthday, but I'm going to be cleaning up the beach on my birthday.
Coastal Cleanup Day and your birthday.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah. Well, so one last thing that we have going on that's going to be really interesting for the people that have been following the Climate Ready study that's been going on. There is going to be a walk with Andrea Picard, who is kind of the head of the whole project. And she's going to walk at Landfear on September 23rd.
Oh, great.
So you will have to RSVP for that because it will probably fill up. So call Friends of the Dunes to RSVP.
So speaking of which, how do people get in touch with Friends of the Dunes, or where can they go to find out more information on the internet?
You can find out more on our website, friendsofthedunes.org. Pretty easy to find. You can call us, 444-1397 is our phone number. Those are the best ways, 444-1397. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Our Instagram feed is great. We have an outreach coordinator who's an HSU student here who does an amazing job with Instagram. So definitely follow Friends of the Dunes on that.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, Susie, so much for coming in today. And thanks for all the work you do to inform and celebrate the dunes.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Now we're going to switch gears and talk about Humboldt Bay Keepers Bay Tours program. So with me here now is Jasmine Segura, who is our Bay Tours coordinator for Humboldt Baykeeper. Thanks for coming in today, Jasmine.
Thanks for having me, Jen.
So tell us a little bit about the Bay Tours program. We get funding from the California Coastal Conservancy to run these free tours. Tell the listeners who aren't aware already about our Bay Tours what we do.
Well, we started this program, about 4 years ago when I started. It's a little bit different than what we used to do. We partner with a bunch of different folks to take people out on the water via motorized boat or kayak. If y'all aren't familiar with the Hickshari Trail behind Seamus T. Bones at the south end of Eureka, we take folks out there about once a month during the summer season, and we do about a 30 to 40 minute walk on the trail, and you talk about history, the flora and fauna of the area, and then we take folks out on kayaks. And so we've partnered with the Humboldt Bay Aquatic Center, and they provide everything for you, the kayaks, the paddles, safety vest, and the guides. Everything is free. We have a capacity for 12 people, so it's small and intimate, and it's super fun. You should join us. And our motorized boat tours, we partner with the Coastal Commission. They let us borrow their boats and their skipper, and they take us out on the water for a docent-led tour. And those are also free and open to the public.
Yeah, and the kayak tours in particular are a great opportunity for people who've never tried kayaking before, because not only do you get all the gear and the boats and the safety vests and everything supplied. But the Humboldt Bay Aquatic Center certified guides are fantastic, and they do a little safety lesson and some paddling lessons. And quite often, about a third of the people, or even sometimes more, have never even tried kayaking before. And so usually we go up the Elk River. So it's not the big water of Humboldt Bay. You know, it's not really fast moving water, and it's not deep. So it's not dangerous. Even so, if you manage to tip your boat over, which rarely happens, but if it does happen, the certified guides are right there ready to help rescue you.
That's right.
So this is a great program, and we've gotten hundreds and hundreds of people out on the water, both on kayak and on the motorboat, since we started doing it this way. And it's great because it's free. But then this year, we've added some new components to the tours. So
right.
Let's talk about the tours for youth.
We do something very similar with youth 12 and older, where we meet at the Hikshari Trail and do a short walk. The Aquatic Center meets us out there, same thing, and we get out on the water. And a lot of these kids have never been kayaking before. It's super fun. And then when we come back to shore, we've got a barbecue waiting with Eureka Parks and Recreation. They set it up for us, and they come out and hang out with us. And it's a super good time. A lot of these kids have never been out on the water before. It's just exciting. It's exciting to see kids around that age having a really good time.
Yeah, you know, what's great for me the first time we did it is seeing all those teenagers put their phones in the lockers and turn around and walk away.
Right.
That was cool.
Uh-huh.
Just this last time, you told me a great story about one person who said that she overcame her fear of water.
Right. It was funny. Like, we were on the trail, you know, as typical for kids that age. It's a Saturday afternoon. They're wrestling in the streets as opposed to listening to my well-prepared lecture. By the time we get to the put-out spot where we're going to get the kids in the water, they suddenly realize, like, oh, man, we're going to be on the water pretty soon. We got to pay attention. The Aquatic Center folks are fantastic. They're just like, you know, they're fun, but they're also sort of no-nonsense about safety and stuff like that. So the kids went out on the water, and, you know, they come back soaking wet. As soon as the kid gets out of the water, she's like, man, I've overcome my fear of water. And she was having such a great time. And we just talked about the possibility of maybe doing a backpacking trip soon. And she's like, can we go right now? I'm so excited. So it's just really fun to, like, see that switch in somebody. It was really exciting to be present for that.
Yeah, it's a great, beautiful part of Eureka, too. And if you don't know about the Hikshari Trail that's there behind the south end of the Bayshore Mall, it's just spectacular. It is part of the California Coastal Trail, which is eventually going to be continuous all the way from Mexico to the Oregon border. Each jurisdiction in California is building its segment of the trail. Eureka's working on the next parts of its coastal trail now to the north of that section. Arcata's building the Bay Trail in between Arcata and Eureka right now. And so, you know, eventually you'll be able to get on that trail on a bike or on rollerblades or with baby strollers or just on your 2 feet and walk
on a wheelchair.
Chair,
successful for everybody. What's so great about it?
Yeah.
Like, I broke my leg a couple years ago, and it was the only trail that was accessible to me. And I was so thankful to be able to get outside still in those circumstances. Yeah, it's really, really, really beautiful.
So if you haven't checked out the Hikshari Trail, this is a good opportunity to go and explore it with us. We have, as Jasmine said, monthly kayak tours except during September and April when we do a coastal cleanup or Earth Day cleanup with the kayak tour. So there's two opportunities coming up to try kayaking with us. And why don't you tell them, well, the first one is Coastal Cleanup Day, and then there's a kayak tour on Saturday, October 7th. So why don't you tell the listeners about Coastal Cleanup Day and how Humboldt Baykeeper does participate in that.
All right. So Coastal Cleanup Day, it's super exciting. It is happening all over the place. Through Humboldt Baykeeper, what we do is we partner with a bunch of really awesome people locally, the Wiat tribe. From the Aquatic Center, we take kayaks out to Indian or Tulawat Island. We pick up garbage. We haul it onto boats that are provided by Hog Island Oyster Company and Coast Seafood to haul the garbage back to the mainland for us. We also partner with the Wiat tribe. They allow us access to a part of the island that is owned by them. And so it's a really unique opportunity to be on that part of the island and expand our community connections with, you know, other people in the area. It's a really, really wonderful afternoon. It's September 16th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And again, everything is free and provided for, including the guides. It's really, really safe and super fun. You will get wet, but you will get out of the water feeling renewed and super stoked that you did something wonderful for the environment.
You will get wet, but you won't get cold because the Aquatic Center provides wetsuits.
That's right.
In fact, they make us wear wetsuits.
That's right.
It's not optional because the bay can get very cold. And if you tip over, which has not happened on a coastal cleanup yet, by the way, you know, it's important to be protected. But it's a really great opportunity to get out onto Indian Island and see Humboldt Bay from the center of the universe for the Wiat tribe. It's really beautiful out there. There's always a lot of trash. It washes up during high tide events. You get to see all the strange things that blow down off of the Sumo Bridge. There are some illegal camps there sometimes underneath the bridge. So the Wiat tribe has partnered with us to go and clean up all that trash, and we just keep doing it every 6 months. April Earth Day and September Coastal Cleanup Day.
September 16th. And if you are interested in signing up, give me a call, Jasmine, at 407-6183.
And you can also go to the Humboldt Baykeeper website or Facebook page to read more about it. You do need to RSVP, but we also welcome people with their own boat. So if you want to bring a canoe or your own kayak, you're welcome to do that. Just coordinate with Jasmine and make sure she knows you're coming, and she'll let you know what time to show up at the Aquatic Center in Eureka.
That's right.
So another thing that you do that I wanted to talk about a little bit is our mercury study. We're working on a study of mercury levels in fish in Humboldt Bay. You are doing angler surveys, particularly for people who speak Spanish.
That's right.
And we are looking for anybody who fishes from the shore, popular fishing places like the Del Norte Street Pier, Mad River Slough Bridge, and out at the jetty. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. So if, in case people see you out there when they're fishing, they'll know it's you.
Yeah, don't be afraid of the clipboard. I will not harm you. Everything you say is anonymous. Like Jen was saying, we've targeted, I think, 5 different species of fish and some shellfish, right? We're interested in what the practices are of folks who are non-commercial fisher people, how they use the fish, what they catch, and who they feed with it, and how often they eat it. We have some results in right now. Could you talk about those, Jen?
We started this project because the state did a survey of coastal fish in California and found the highest mercury levels in the entire state in leopard shark from Humboldt Bay. And so we applied for and received a grant from the California Environmental Protection Agency to study the mercury levels more in depth. And, you know, a lot of the reason for that is because subsistence or recreational fishermen and lots of tribal members and other people who just rely very heavily on eating wild fish and shellfish, they eat a lot more than the average American, which is what all the risk assessments for mercury exposure are based on, is, you know, the average person in America who eats fish maybe 1 to 4 times a month versus a lot of people locally. Anybody listening right now probably knows a lot of people who eat fish a lot more than 1 or 4 times a month. Some people eat it as much as 4 times a week. So we're looking at leopard shark, bat ray, ling cod, which are very long-lived fish, and they tend to eat other fish, so they accumulate and they magnify the mercury in their bodies. So it's what we call a bioaccumulating toxin that can cause reproductive damage and nervous system damage. We're also looking at smaller fish like surf perch. I think we're going to try rock cod. We actually have a little bit more budget than we expected for the sampling because we found a lab that is doing it for half price for nonprofit study. So,
yay.
Yeah, that's really great. And then we also sampled clams with the Wiat tribe, gathered some clams down near the South Spit in one of their traditional clam beds. And those turned out to be very, very low in mercury,
as
shellfish is expected to be since they're filter feeders and just eat plankton. Generally, Chinook salmon are fairly low in mercury. They're short-lived animals, like the ling cod and some of the rock cod that live to be, you know, 50, 80 years old. Those tend to have more mercury. What's really important for people to know is just basically don't eat the really the biggest fish. If you're going to eat a lot of ling cod or rock cod, don't eat the biggest ones. Albacore that's caught locally that's in season right now tend to be pretty small fish as well. So albacore tuna is known for having high mercury levels, mostly because the canned tuna from the Southeast Asia are very old fish. But the ones people catch here tend to be younger. And then, like I said, don't pick the biggest fish when you go down to the dock.
Big is not always better.
We'll be basically getting people's input once we have all the lab results in to develop recommendations for people to have a better understanding of how to eat healthy fish. And fish is really good for you, and we know it's good for your heart health, so don't stop eating fish from Humboldt Bay. California halibut is another one that we sampled.
Right.
We'll be releasing the results soon, later in the fall, probably. The main thing is be educated, eat smaller fish, eat lower on the food chain. That's generally good for you anyway.
Yeah, and if you're interested in taking a survey and I'm not down at the docks or you want me to send information to you, give me a call at the same number that you reserve the tours at, 407-6183, and we can talk about it. 407-6183.
Yeah, and we're especially looking for people who eat leopard shark because we have not found very many people who do. So if you eat leopard shark, we really want to hear from you how often you eat it and how you prepare it and that sort of thing. Okay, well, thanks so much for coming. Is there anything else you want to say before you go?
Buenas, yo me llamo Jasmine Segura y yo trabajo por Humboldt Baykeeper y estamos haciendo dos diferentes cosas que son bien interesantes. La primera cosa es estamos haciendo una limpieza de la Isla India que queda acerca de Eureka. Es completamente gratis. El día de septiembre, el 16, es un sábado de 10 de la mañana hasta las 2 de la tarde. Y es completamente gratis y no tienes que tener experiencia. Si tienes hijos de 12 y adelante, que vengan con nosotros y vamos a montarnos en kayak y nos vamos a la isla a recoger basura. Y después lo montamos en un barco, ellos se llevan la basura y nosotros regresamos a las 2 de la tarde. Es completamente gratis y nosotros tenemos todo lo que necesitas. Tenemos guías que son profesionales que les van a enseñar a cómo hacerlo si no tienen experiencia. Y si me quieren llamar para hacer reservación, por favor, el número es 407-6183. 407-6183. Y también estamos haciendo una encuesta para los niveles de mercurio en diferentes especies de pescado. Si ustedes van a pescar de diferentes partes en la bahía, pero no comercial, para dar comida a tu familia, por favor, también queremos hablar con ustedes. El número otra vez es 407-6183. Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias, Jasmine. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
This has been the Eco News Report. My name is Jennifer Kalt of Humboldt Baykeeper, and I've been your host for the past half hour. I was speaking with Susie Fortner of Friends of the Dunes and Jasmine Segura, Humboldt Baykeeper's Bay Tours Coordinator. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the KHSU archives at khsu.org. And now we're podcasting, so you can subscribe at iTunes. The Eco News Report is produced at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Many thanks to Fred McLaughlin for engineering. Join us again next week for the Eco News Report.